Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So the gospel is the story of Martha and Mary who greet Jesus. And Martha has just taken it upon herself that here comes Jesus. Someone's got to get the house ready. Someone's got to get the meal ready. Someone's got to dust. Someone's got to sweep. Someone's got to mop. Jesus is coming, right? And so Martha does all of those things and continues to do them after Jesus arrives. And what is Mary doing? Mary just comes over and sits down at Jesus' feet and says, I'm going to listen to him. I'm just going to spend some time with Jesus. And what is Martha's response to this? To do what to Jesus? To praise and adore him and to bask in the glory of his presence? Or what does she do? She complains about her sister. That's what she does. She says, Jesus, don't you care that she's not doing anything and I'm doing everything? Don't you care? And what is Jesus' response? If you were listening, you heard what his response was. This is a very famous line. Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things, but Mary has chosen the better part. Mary's worried about what she needs to be worried about. You're worried about lots of stuff that just really doesn't matter. It's not a rebuke of Martha. It's an invitation to Martha. Martha, why don't you come have a seat? Why don't you come here and listen? Why don't you rearrange the priorities of your life and spend some more time in prayer? Why don't you understand me better? Then you'll know what you should be anxious about. You're anxious about so many things that are frivolous and meaningless. Come sit at my feet. So that's part of the gospel. What does Martha desire? What does she want? Let me ask you this. What do you want? What do you desire? Tell me what you desire. And I want to say, you need to spend some time thinking about what it is that you desire. What is it you're working for? What is it that you're putting in 40 or 60 or 80 hours a week for? What is it that you desire? And why do you desire that? What did Martha want and why did she want it? She probably could have very good reasons. She had a great defense of herself. Jesus is clear that her sister has done the better thing, to sit at his feet and listen to him. You know, I think about my life, and I was asked a few years ago to take some time every year, at least once a year, and to come up with the key areas of responsibility in my life. What are my key responsibilities? As a pastor, as a human being, what is it that I need to focus on as my responsibilities? And then coming up with these major categories of my life. And I'll tell you, one of them is to provide you all and myself a beautiful place to worship God. That's what I see. One of my responsibilities, to have good liturgy. What is liturgy? Liturgy is the worship of God. One, I got several of them. What are yours? And then why? What's to make lots of money, to graduate, to win a championship, to lose some weight, to grow my 401k, whatever, to learn a new language, to start the Latin Mass, whatever it is. What is that? What is it? Your key areas of responsibility, and why? And is one of them to grow closer to Jesus? To sit at his feet? Is one of them to complain about what everybody else in the world is doing? Is that, I know that one comes natural. We don't have to really put that as one of our life goals. So Martha, Martha, tell me what you desire. Tell me why you desire it. Tell me what you will sacrifice to achieve that which you desire. Now, I know just think about these questions. What will you sacrifice in your life, and what does that word mean to you to achieve that? What will you suffer? That's a big headache. Got to do it, though, because it's part of my key area of responsibility. You know what idolatry is? Idolatry is to overvalue something in creation and to undervalue the Creator. Idolatry is to overvalue the things that God has made and to undervalue the God who made them. Martha was worried about many things. Mary chose the better path. Who are you trying to please? What do you desire? You know what St. Paul desired? St. Paul. I wish we could have time to just have a good, long biography of St. Paul and who he was and what made him tick and why he was the man he was. But he came up with the greatest area of responsibility in his life was to imitate Jesus Christ. You know, there's a famous book, probably the second most widely read book in all of Christianity, and the name of that book is The Imitation of Christ. It's fallen out of favor in the last century or so, but for many centuries, it was the bestseller of bestsellers, The Imitation of Christ. And I've read it, and it's a good book, and I would recommend it to you, The Imitation of Christ. What was St. Paul's key responsibility in his life? To imitate Jesus Christ. And how are you going to learn to imitate Jesus Christ? By sitting at his feet and listening to him, by praying. Now, St. Paul came up with this truth that he was going to imitate Christ. And he writes in his letter that we read an excerpt of just a moment ago and that I introduced to you at the beginning of Mass. He says this, and this is worth repeating and worth hearing. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. This is St. Paul writing to a members of his congregation. Members of a church that he founded. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh, my body, in my body, I am filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. St. Paul says that he has joy in his life. Did you get that part, or did you just focus on the suffering? See, St. Paul says, I rejoice. My life is full of joy. I am a man who rejoices. I'm rejoicing. I've talked to y'all a few times about having joy as part of your life and praying for joy and being men and women of joy. It is joy that draws other people to Christ. It is joy that we want in our lives. And if you don't want to be joyful, talk to me after Mass. I got a psychologist you need to see, okay? Because joy is desirable. And so Paul is rejoicing. I rejoice. And now is where he throws us for a loop. In my sufferings. I rejoice in my sufferings. And then he says, for you. I'm suffering for you, and that makes me joyful. Because I know that what I'm doing is difficult for me, and it's stretching me, and it's growing me, but it's good for you, and it's good for me too. And I rejoice in my sufferings for your sakes. This is the Word of God. This is the sacred scripture. This is the Bible. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. You know, I can think of like sports analogies. You know, it's the off season, right? And some guy somewhere, he's working out hard. He's suffering, isn't he? He's getting up early and he's staying up late and he's running a lot. He's suffering. And why is he suffering? Because when it's the fourth quarter, and it's all now or never, he's going to be able to do what? He's going to be able to go, isn't he? And he's going to be able to stand up for his team, and he's going to be able to win the championship. And that fills him with joy, doesn't it? See, St. Paul's not afraid of using sports analogies, too. But St. Paul, in this case, is saying, I'm rejoicing in my sufferings because Paul is in jail when he writes this letter. He's in jail. He's been put in prison. And why was he put in prison? He was put in prison for proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ. And he says, I rejoice that I'm here. And I rejoice that I can suffer. Because in my sufferings, it's good for you somehow. What do you want out of life? Say, I want to be joyful, Father Mike. Me too. I want to suffer a lot, Father Mike. Or maybe not. Me neither, okay? But it's part of life. You can leave this church right now. There'll still be suffering. You can change your religion. There's still going to be suffering. The question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? I was looking back at what I preached about 3 years ago when we had these same readings. And my sermon 3 years ago was about offering it up. I offer my sufferings up to Almighty God as a prayer for you, my brothers and sisters. I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. And you know, we're going to suffer in life. I know people who have had horrible things happen to them, and that made them better Christians. That drew them to the feet of Jesus. That humbled them and truly energized their faith life. And I know people who have had horrible things happen to them and they turned their back on God. And they said, I can't believe in God anymore after this happened to me. I can't worship of God that would allow that to happen, say for a child to be very sick, for someone to lose their life, for cancer, blindness. But you know something, brothers and sisters? You can leave this church, but you won't leave suffering. But if you stay in this church, you can do what with your sufferings? Say, I can offer them up, Father Mike. I can say it. I can offer them up. And you offer your sufferings up, and you know what? Believe it or not, there's joy in that. Because our sufferings can be like a prayer. We pray with our lips. We pray with our mind. We pray with our ideas. We pray with our very sufferings. We offer them up. And that's what St. Paul was saying. I offer up my sufferings for your sake. You know, last week, I didn't preach at this Mass last week, but last week I said, the crisis in our life doesn't make the character. The crisis in our life simply reveals our character. A crisis in our life doesn't make us who we are. It reveals who we are. And you know, I read this little poetic, beautiful line today. The night brings out the stars, and our sufferings show us ourselves. The night brings out the stars, and our sufferings show us who we are. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we suffer, let's offer it up to Almighty God. And if we're going to imitate Jesus Christ, if we're going to proclaim Christ in the culture in which we live, we're going to suffer some. It's going to get worse. I hate to say it, but it is. But we can offer it up, and we can offer it up in joy, and we can be like St. Paul, who's being like Jesus. And you know, and in our lives, we can be busy about many things, right? Many, many things. But are we busy about the most important thing? And what's the most important thing? To be like Jesus. And how do we do that? I would say to you, we do that by sitting at his feet, by taking some time to pray in silence, to carve out a life of prayer. I do rejoice in my sufferings when I can remember to offer them up. And I pray for you all, and I ask for your prayers for me and for our church and for the whole world. Suffering is part of life. Let's learn to offer them up with Christ.